Well, welcome back to our study of Exodus. We had left off in chapter 19, and I want to reread verses 3 through 6, and we're going to talk about this just a little bit more this evening. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak unto the children of Israel.
If you look at this, it appears to me anyway, that God's desire was not to have a person or a family, but an entire nation to represent him. And so the instruction that he's given to Moses here is God wants that whole nation to be like priests to him. But they have to be distinctly different. They can't blend in with everybody else. They have to do things God's way and follow God's protocol. And I think of how that same thing holds true today, to where the church, God wants the church, the body of Christ, to represent him to the world. We're so different from the world, distinctly different, like the nation of Israel is so distinctly different. But the problem is it seems like modern-day church wants to blend in with the world rather than to be distinctly different from the world. And, you know, I've seen some things here lately that's absolutely alarming as to what goes on in our church services. They're not church services. They're just entertainment centers. They're not representing God. They're just doing what feels good. And people have become so self-centered that God's just pushed to the side. And here we have the same opportunity that Israel has. We have an opportunity to represent God. And obviously the church is made up of individuals. So each individual has to make a choice. Do I want to put my attention on God? Do I want to follow God's way? Do I want to just let him set the protocol and me follow it? Excuse me, or do I just want to do my thing? One way we represent God, one way we misrepresent God by representing ourselves.
Yeah. There were a few words that really jumped out to me the other night. If you then, and Pete's alluded to this, you know, the Word of God is established. How we respond to His Word is dependent on our own hearts, right? If you obey my Word and my covenant, the same today. If you accept my Son Jesus as your Savior, then you'll have everlasting life, right? Then you won't perish. But if we choose not to, He gives us that choice, doesn't He? And that's amazing, isn't it? So if you will obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you, what will you be? A peculiar treasure above, unto me, above all people.
Yeah.
You think about who we are as saints, above all people, right? All others that choose not to accept. We too get to be in the kingdom of priests, the holy nation. If we
We want the then, but we don't want the if.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about this, you know, where God has selected this nation, Israel, to be his representative, to be a peculiar people, to be so distinct. And do you know, even though they haven't done everything that they should have done, they haven't followed God like they should have followed, but who is more distinct? What nation is more distinct than the nation of Israel? What nationality is more distinct than the Jew? You think about it. When God made a covenant to Abraham, God meant that to be an everlasting covenant, a perpetual thing. And you see that ongoing today. Now that God's made the covenant with Jesus, we are to be so different than anybody else. We should stand out in a crowd as being peculiar people. People who live by a different standard than the world lives. People who have different desires than the world has. And it concerns me that, just generally speaking, professing Christians don't have a lot of interest in the Lord. And it's sad. It's sad.
It is sad. In verse 7, "And Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, All that the Lord has spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord."
So Moses gets this word from the Lord. He comes down. He gathers the elders, the leaders. And he says, all right, this is what the Lord has said. They said, okay, whatever the Lord says, we'll do it. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Just one thing to say it, it's another thing to walk it out.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord."
So then the Lord tells Moses that, "Now I'm going to come and speak to the people. Now I'm going to do this through a thick cloud." In other words, they're not going to see me. Do you follow me? Mm-hmm. And so Moses, he rehearses back to the Lord what the people have said. "What you said we're going to do." Okay? And so now we're getting ready to have an encounter with God, the nation. Mm-hmm. We're getting ready to have an encounter with God, okay?
"And the Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai."
This is very significant. God says, all right, I'm going to meet with you, but I'm going to give you time to get yourself prepared before you come into my presence.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? God wants us properly prepared when we come into the presence of God. This is not just some haphazard thing you do, just, you know, frivolous thing. But the people were given orders. Wash your clothes. In other words, you don't you come before me dirty.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're looking at natural, but it carries the connotation of spiritual as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But you get yourself set apart. You cleanse yourself. You consecrate yourself. You get ready. I'm going to give you 3 days to get your act cleaned up. And then I'm going to show up. Okay?
Yeah. "And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, Take heed to yourselves, that you go not into the mount or touch the border of it. Whosoever touches the mount shall surely be put to death."
And you think about this. God is coming down on Mount Sinai for all the people to see, not to see His face. Remember, He said He's going to speak through to them through a dark cloud. So it's not that they are seeing any visual form. Now, this is real significant, and as we go along, we'll see why God didn't show up in a form. Okay? But He's coming down to talk. Boy, this is an awesome thing. You know, Heather and I were talking about it today.
Yeah.
People talk about how they want to crawl up on Daddy God's lap and all that. You don't even know what you're saying. You can't handle that. I'll show you this in a minute.
There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet sounds long, they shall come up to the mount.
Now, you want to come into the presence of God, you better do it His way. He said, listen, I'm coming down on the mount, and nobody had better touch that mount, man or animal. Anybody that touches that mount, kill them. God doesn't play around.
Mm-mm.
You understand?
We talked about this trumpet this afternoon, too. You don't come when you want to come. You wait until you're told.
Yeah, by invitation, right?
Yeah. And
you don't say, God, I'm here, you show up. God says, you better prepare yourself before I show up. And I'm going to tell you when I show up to have your hearts prepared. In other words, that's the mercy of God.
Yeah.
If you think about it. Yeah, I want you to think about this. Yeah, just like in any given service, a church service, if you'll prepare your heart and you'll set an atmosphere, the Lord will show up. He'll show up. The reason He doesn't show up as often as people would like is because they're not ready for Him to show. They have not prepared. They're not following the protocol of God. They're just, hey, you know, bless me if you can. It doesn't work that way.
Verse 14, and Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes.
When the long blast of the trumpet, that trumpet sounds with a long blast, that will be your invitation. Don't come before you hear the trumpet. But when the trumpet sounds, you assemble yourself not on the mountain, but before the mountain. Okay? So, after the Lord's finished speaking to Moses, Moses goes down from the mountain, and the King James Version says he sanctified the people. In other words, he tells the people, get you out, cleaned up, wash your bodies and all this. Get yourself cleaned up, get ready to meet the Lord. You understand? Get your mind on the Lord. You've got 3 days. Now, 3 days, you get your act together in 3 days, all right? Then you want to read the next verse?
Yes, sir. And he said to the people, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives.
Okay, so here's the instruction. You wash, you get clean, you get ready to meet the Lord. Men, don't enter into any sexual relationship with your wife. You get your mind on God. And keep your mind on God. You get ready to meet God. Don't have your mind on anything else. People come into church and their mind's everywhere. Mind's not on meeting God. No, we have to get our hearts prepared.
And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that were in the camp trembled.
Now, this is what I was talking about earlier. All right, God's going to appear. He's going to come down on the mountain. And what happens? And you got to, I don't know if you visualize this like I have. It starts thundering, lightning. Do you get a picture of that? How many of you like to go outside and play in the lightning? But here we're thundering and lightning, and this thick cloud comes down on Mount Sinai, and then a very loud trumpet sound. Now that's their call to come and assemble before the Lord. Man, when they hear the thunder, they see the lightning and the dark cloud, and that trumpet, it says they trembled with fear. You understand? It scared them. And I'm going to tell you, when you get into the presence of God, there should be a tremendous reverential fear of God to where you dare not act foolishly or casually. You're very much aware that you're in the presence of the one who gives you life and could obviously take it. The one who made you. You don't know anything he doesn't, but he knows a lot more than you know. You follow me? So this is an awesome sight when you think about it.
And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount.
So Moses leads the people out of the camp to where all this is going on. Any volunteers? Think about it. That phenomenal sight that's already scared them, very frightened, and Moses says, all right, come on, let's go to the base of the mountain. Get out of your houses. Get out of your safe zone. Let's go where God is.
One of the things that we talked about this afternoon that jumped out to me was the order of this. In that the Lord appeared on the mount. He was there. And then he called the people. What I was struck by that is the fact the Lord was there. You know, how many times have you heard somebody say, well, I wish the Lord would help me. I wish the Lord is there. He's already beaten you there. He precedes you. We looked up today in Ezekiel in chapter 38 in verse 45. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Y'all, that's our God. The one that invites us to Him. I have a note, and I know we're going to finish reading this here in a minute. I have a note posted that I see every single day. At least twice a day, if not many more times, that says, I'll meet you in my word anytime you want. He's already there. He's waiting. The invitation's been extended. It's up to me to respond to the invitation.
You want to be where the Lord is. Now, and I have to qualify this statement because people think the Lord is some geographical location. I know for many years, you know, back in the, especially in the 70s and 80s, everybody thought God lived in Tulsa, I guess, and everybody's trying to run this going from one meeting to the next meeting, looking for God and looking for God. Where does God want you? That's where God is for you. You understand? If God's place for you is right here, you're going to miss God if you go there. You understand? And I've had many opportunities, you know, where people will invite you to miss God. They wouldn't say it that way. Boy, God's here. You ought to go here. You ought to go there. Man, God's really moving down here. God's really moving up there. And people just run. They're going for the show. They're following a personality. You follow God. You know, God may take you out of Samaria ministering to a crowd to an area that's deserted to minister to one man.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you where God is there for you. If Philip wanted to be where God was, he needed to go see that Ethiopian eunuch. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
So we're not talking about geographical location per se. Where has God told you that he would meet you?
Mm-hmm.
That's where you want to be.
Mm-hmm. Verse 18. And Mount Sinai was altogether on smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly.
So this entire mountain, Mount Sinai, this peak, the range of Horeb, the peak of Sinai, okay, is covered with smoke, and the Lord descends on it in fire. And he says the smoke is like the smoke of a furnace. And the whole mountain shook vehemently.
Mm-hmm.
It's trembling. Would that scare you? I would hope so. That ought to get your attention. You understand? You may be thinking earthquake. No. It's God coming down, and when he came down, the mountain shook under him, you understand? Power.
Something. Do you have the picture of this? That's one of the things we... Do you have the picture of this? This mount, thunder and lightning all around. We had a bad enough storm the other night with all the wind and whatnot. We probably didn't go out, did we? If we could help it. But then the whole mount smoke sending. Could you imagine the awesomeness of that? But then there was a voice, right? And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by a voice.
So all this has occurred, that trumpet sound, and then Moses speaks to God. And then it says God spoke to Moses in an audible voice. No form. You're not seeing anything of to say God looks like this. Okay?
And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up.
And so Moses spoke to God. God calls out to Moses in an audible voice, and then Moses goes up this mountain that's covered with smoke, this thing trembling and all this sight. And Moses goes up into that setting to commune with God.
And the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish.
So Moses goes up, God says, all right, go back down and tell the people,
yeah,
you warn them, don't touch the mountain. There's several messages that you could jump off of this onto. You don't touch the things of God. You with me? When God's there in power, you better stand at attention or get on your face before God and listen to what God's saying, And you don't want to be over there thinking God is a novelty that you can handle. You follow me?
Mm.
Okay.
And let the priest also which come near to the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them.
And so this situation is so serious that it could cost a person their life. It could cost an animal his life. And he says that, the priest even had better be sanctified. You say, well, what do you mean priest? We don't have the tabernacle yet. But you think about this. All these years, all these nations around them, they had their priests. They had their method of worship and all these type things. They had designated people. You understand? And so Israel had designated people even before God initiated the priesthood with the tabernacle and all that. And so there's people here that the Lord said they better be clean.
Mm-hmm.
They better be clean. You know, I'm watching something here two or three days ago. I was watching actually two or three things. And I was real concerned how frivolous the ministry was, talking about the power of God and the presence of God and playing with it. Y'all's not nothing to play with. You clean up your act. Your heart better be right before God. You don't approach God irreverently. That you approach Him with a fearful heart. When I say a fearful heart, I'm talking about one is so reverential toward God that you want to fall in your face before Him. You look at these prophets. I think about Ezekiel, Daniel. Man, the Lord shows up. They hold their face like a dead man. And with Daniel, he has to give him strength to even stand up and talk to Him. He becomes so weak. When natural man gets in the presence of Almighty God, it will show you who's powerful and who's weak. You understand?
Mm-hmm. And Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, set bounds about the mount and sanctify it.
This just shows you the humanity of Moses.
Mm-hmm.
God said, Moses, go down and tell the people not to come up. Moses, we've already told them, Lord, so they can't come up. Well, why would God tell you to go down there and tell them? God knows something you don't. That could be a revelation to some, right?
Yeah. And the Lord said unto him, away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee. But let not the priest and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them.
The word of God reiterates this. You go down. You get those boundaries established. You make sure these people know that I'm not playing games. You understand? When I said don't touch this mountain, then you'd better not touch this mountain.
So Moses went down unto the people and spoke unto them.
So Moses got the message.
Yeah.
He went down the mountain, told the people what the Lord said. Now that's the message in itself. When God speaks to you as a minister, when God speaks to you, you tell the people what God said. If God said, go down and tell them this, go down and tell them that. Don't sugarcoat it. Don't say, well, they may not like that. The bottom line is, you're the messenger. God gave you the message, carry the message. That's what we have to do as ministers.
And I think about, I giggled to myself when we read that 23rd verse there. Moses said, I told them. It's okay, I told them. But if the Lord tells you to tell them something again, you tell them again, right? If it's the exact same message, you say it again. That's where we have to just completely trust in Him. Trust in His ways, not our ways, His ways.
You think about it. Any of you have children? You ever have to tell them something more than one time? Yeah, it's amazing how many times God has to tell His children something, isn't it?
Yeah.
But He's wanting to make the point, get the point across for our protection.
Yeah.
That's the thing about it. God's trying to protect the people. I'm not somebody to play with. You touch that mind, you're going to die. Nadab and Abihu could tell you some things about that.
Yeah. I couldn't help but think as we were reading this, when we were little growing up, there'd be times when our daddy would say to us, "You sit right here, and you don't move until I tell you to come." And I guarantee you, if we had moved before we were told to come, you know, the mount would have been quaking, and the smoke would have been there. But just the timing of the Lord, y'all. I see so much in this that we can learn from. Let's do it His way, and then we'll be all right. And then in chapter 20, this chapter documents the verbal giving of the Ten Commandments by God, the people's fear, God giving instruction to Moses to give to the people, and God's protocol for building an altar to Him.
Many people do not know that the commandments, the Ten Commandments, were given verbally to the whole nation before God ever wrote them in stone. They heard God speak with their own ears.
Mm.
You with me?
Mm-hmm.
But He documented it. And I like that He put it in stone.
Yeah.
You don't change that.
And God spoke all these words, saying, "I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage."
God just identified, said, it's me, the one that brought you out of bondage. You didn't have a chance. You're slaves. And I delivered you from the bondage. I brought you out of Egypt. It wasn't something you did on your own. It was not by military force that you came out. Mm-hmm. It was not by your wisdom and understanding. It was by my divine intervention. That's what brought you out of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
That's what brought you out of sin. That's what brought me out of sin, was by divine intervention of God.
Mm-hmm.
He had to get my attention. So verses 3 through 17 list the Ten Commandments that God spoke to the people.
"Thou shalt have no other gods before me."
So, what's the first commandment? You're not to have any gods in my presence. You understand? No God in my presence. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God. God says, if there's another God, I don't know it. Anything else is just gods. You understand? False. Don't you have that? Don't want that in my presence. In any form.
"Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keeping my commandments.
Now, we call this the second commandment, but really it's just giving more detail to the first commandment. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
You're not to have any God in my presence. Don't make any idols. Don't fashion one shaped like anything in heaven, the earth, or the sea. Don't bow down or serve any God, because I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. And I will punish the children of the fathers who sin, even to the third and fourth generation, of those, and you have to get this, of those who hate me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now that doesn't say, and I'm going to talk more about this when we come back from break, that doesn't say it's just automatic. If you father sin, then you're going on to the third or fourth generation, okay? But he says, of those who hate me, but he goes on to say, I'll be kind to the thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. Now I'm going to come back and because I've had to deal with some things over the years in this area that people think they're without hope because of what their father did. Okay? So we'll take a break and pick back up with this.